Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sigmund serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have got a jam-packed day of hot, juicy topics for you. First, let's get into the hottest news from the weekend. Justin Martindale, a.k.a. Duke of Martindale, and Lady Hetherington, we went to the Bridgerton Ball in downtown L.A., and we got in our outfits. I have to say, this is a pretty cute thing to do, especially if you have a fan in your life that's a huge Bridgerton fan, and possibly, like, maybe if you've got a teenage daughter or something, it's pretty cute thing to do. A lot of people did not take it as seriously as we did. I mean, you heard we went to that costume house. We rented outfits that were, like, between, like, $150 and $200, and we got some compliments, but we still did not win the diamond. Justin and I did a big debutante bow for the woman who's acting like the queen, who looks like the actress in the actual show who plays the queen. And I did get a card that said, you know, you're in the running to be the diamond. I really wanted my friend Krista, who, well, mostly because she purchased the tickets for us, but she really had like a beautiful white dress on, like the main lead in it. And I thought she had a chance, but there was this redhead that the whole time was just really dressed to the nines, kind of looked like the lead. And in the end, she got it. So we were debating, did this girl work for the production? Also, the woman she was with looked like an older mother or aunt type. And she was all dressed up, like really age appropriate for the era too, like for her age. And like, so she'd almost be like, I'm trying to marry my daughter off. Anyway, we've done a deep dive because this is in other cities. And this girl's like, my friend won the diamond of the night. So I don't know if it's real or not. We had fun. We got drunk enough. We had a car service. So that was pretty good. Then I woke up early the next day to go to Mammoth with my kids. And we had a wonderful Easter, beautiful weather out. And next year, they do this thing at Mammoth at the last day of the season. It just happened to be Easter. It happened to be perfect weather where people come skiing down and then they skim across this pond. And Drake said that he will do it wearing the Juicy Scoop bedazzled ski helmet. And so it'll be a big content moment for me next year. So get ready for that. It'll be fun. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But you see me because you're watching this. But have you subscribed? Have you told a friend? Have you liked it? Have you copied the link and texted it to someone you love or you just feel like being a nice person to? Please do that. It keeps us going. So if you like watching Juicy Scoop here on YouTube, subscribe, like, and share. Also, traumatic weekend for Rihanna and ASAP Rocky fans. You know, as you know, they're an in-love couple. They're expecting a baby pretty soon now. And it went, the news came out that, and it was from this guy who runs he's a writer for Interview Magazine. He tweeted it and he said that they broke up because she found out that he was having an affair, cheating on with this shoe designer, this high end shoe designer woman. Well, then everyone was going crazy, everyone was heartbroken. The girl, the shoe designer, spoke and was like, this is a complete lie. Normally, I don't give any of this any credence or anything, but this is pretty hurtful being that, you know, Rihanna is pregnant. This is just a mean rumor to start. And then the guy then apologized, probably because he's terrified of being sued by everybody involved, and said, oh, okay, I was wrong. And I got a little messy with my tweets. And, you know, there was no cheating involved. And then ASAP Rocky and Rihanna just went off and went to Barbados and is having fun and in love. So just take a deep breather because that was just very stressful. Okay. Let's get into this trial, you guys. I am very into the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial. I've spoke a little bit about it last week. Now we're fully into it. You can watch it on Court TV. You stream it. You can get on YouTube. You can. There's a lot of TikToks about it that are just highlighting people's favorite parts. I have found on TikTok that there seems to be a lot more people that are on Johnny Depp's side in all this. And just to recap to you about this relationship and lawsuit. Johnny Depp, as you know, famous actor. He's 58 years old. He's won, you know, so many awards for his acting. Just so successful and a really, really well-liked actor and musician, okay? He was married to this one woman for just a couple years, and then he had this long-term partner for like 14 years named Vanessa. I forgot her last name. She's a beautiful French actress. They had two kids together. They never got married, and when asked about it, he'd say, well, she has such a beautiful last name. Why would I? Well, we don't need a piece of paper. But certainly, it sounded in all the interviews that he would have absolutely married her. But I don't know, maybe being French, maybe the way she felt about marriage, maybe her childhood. I don't know. She never had a real desire to marry him. We don't know why they broke off. But from everything that we've seen, they had a very nice co-parenting situation after they split up. Then he meets Amber Heard and pretty soon after they get engaged. They were like secretly engaged and then it came out. And in some of the articles that I read back then, it was that he wasn't sure if she'd say yes. Like she was kind of made him fight to want to get her to say yes to this marriage proposal. Let's just get into some of the stuff that went down in the interviewing, trial. Okay, the juiciest stuff came out by this woman named Kate James. And Kate James used to be Amber Heard's personal assistant, going back to before they were married, but while they were dating. Okay, the whole time she was working for her, they were dating. So this was from 2012 to 2015. And this woman was 20 years senior to Amber Heard. She lived nearby. She had good experience. It was a part-time job. She had a young son. I don't know if she was single or not, but she had a young son who was only four. And so this allowed enough flexibility that she could pick up her son and occasionally care for him, even in Amber's presence. And so she goes on to take the stand. And you could tell from watching it that she is not a fan of her former boss, Amber Heard. She said that she had a very poor salary. And the one time that she asked to get a raise, she jumped up and spat in her face. And that was what we saw just from the actual trial. Since then, I have gotten, thanks to someone who posted this on Twitter, but this is the deposition, the declaration of Kate James, which is just a longer declaration about her whole experience with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp and what she knows and what she thinks and what the attorneys think is important to it. These are some of the things I found out that I thought were really interesting. She said that Amber didn't tell her who Johnny was, but she just referred to him in a disparaging terms and that she would say, oh, I'm dating this old man. Meanwhile, she finds out later it's Johnny Depp. That's how she'd describe him. Speaking of which, one of the greatest clips that I saw on TikTok that went viral is this moment where, I don't know if it was her or another witness said that she said she didn't enjoy spending time with Johnny because it was just him and his old boring friends playing guitar. And they zoom in on Johnny's face and he just is like kind of smirking and laughing, like almost remembering the fun times he had with his old friends, but that she didn't like it. There were lots of mean things that she said. And his sister also testified and she said that he said that, I think it was the sister, but when asked, Amber said, why would Dior want you to be their spokesperson? You're an old fat man. And she'd say that to Johnny, which is really the first things that you hear about when someone is a victim of domestic violence or even in a verbally abusive situation. They try to break down your self-esteem. So throughout this trial, which is, again, he's suing Amber for $50 million because because after they got divorced and she got her $7 million, which she said she was going to give to charity, There's absolutely no receipts that she ever gave any of it to charity. And so that was one thing. Then after that, in 2018, she wrote this article in the Washington Post about how being someone of a victim of domestic violence, that how it affected her career and her life. And it was kind of at the height of the Me Too. Like, it was just rising. It was a big way to make a splash. And it got a lot of publicity. And 4 days later, they fired Johnny from, I believe it was the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise and a couple of things that were pending. So he already started to notice right away that he was losing all these opportunities. So he is suing her. She's counter-suing him for $100 million. And first, I didn't realize if we'd have to finish his whole trial, then do a whole nother trial on her countersuit. But no, I understand that they're doing it together. There is a jury. And, you know, and when this first I mentioned, I can't believe that they let this go on to a full jury trial. I can't believe he's suing her for the defamation. Like, this is just such an ordeal and it's so expensive. But now my prediction in looking at how people are reacting to this trial, I think he's going to gain so much love no matter how this turns out. But my prediction is that no one will get any money. That's my prediction, that they'll just say, no, it's just a wash. No one deserves any money. We'll never know who did what. But no, because it is free speech as well as, you know, her ability to write that article. Anyway, that's what I think. But in the end, I think he will start to get hired a lot for a lot of things. And I think he will be more popular than ever. So maybe this trial was worth it just for that, even if he doesn't see a dime. Okay. Other things that this personal assistant said. So a couple weird things that people have also noticed, too, is that Amber, from the beginning, all these witnesses and people watching the trial feel that she is weirdly obsessed with Johnny Depp. He always had that bohemian style. This assistant said she was trying to get a very bohemian style going for her apartment. She got rid of all her paper books and only wanted curated hardcover books, in which he purchased for her. She started wearing very similar clothing to him and would also use his name, in which the assistant would have to get her free clothes and all this stuff, saying that, oh, this is Johnny Depp's girlfriend. You know, she'll be photographed a lot. She was obsessed with the fame that came from being his girlfriend. She and her sister, according to this assistant, would get all dressed up to go shopping at the Grove. And then miraculously, the paparazzi would be there to take a photo of her. When the assistant's little son was around, she would take photos with the boy at the house, Amberwood, and send them to Johnny, almost to be like, look how maternal I am. But if there wasn't, you know, if there was no audience or whatever, then she had no interest in the boy at all. In the other hand, Johnny Depp loved hanging out with his son, taught him how to play guitar, would bring him back gifts as well as his own kids. So, I mean, this obviously was not positive towards Amber Heard. She said that she was screaming, that she was violent, that she was violent towards her in the fact that she stood up and spit at the assistant. She said that Amber's own mother seemed afraid of her. I'm just looking through all the stuff that I have been reading. They said that Amber often smothered Johnny, like always was wanting to know where he was, wanting to make sure who was talking to him. We'll get into the drugs and alcohol in a minute, but there were, she would often go into blind rages where no one could reason with her. She was horrible to this woman on Christmas Day, make her run around, do all these things on Christmas Eve with her son as well, working for her. She just had no respect for the fact that this woman was a mother and worked for her literally part-time, even though it turned out to be a lot of hours a week, and wasn't paying her a lot of money. Now this part's juicy. Drug and alcohol abuse. Kate, the assistant, said that she was taking a drug called Provigil, which is a drug that is prescribed for narcolepsy. However, she never witnessed her having any trouble with narcolepsy, which is like you fall asleep suddenly. But Provigil is quite well known in the industry as being misused as a weight loss aid, and it can cause a loss of appetite. So at one time, Kate, the assistant, took just half a tablet And she said she felt like she had drunk 20 cups of coffee. So very much like a amphetamine kind of shaky feeling. And then Amber would have to have a lot of wine to be able to wind down, literally, and fall asleep. She also took Accutane, which is for severe acne, which has been known to have a lot of psychiatric effects, including severe mood swings and violent behavior. And then she took both the Provigil and the Accutane pills excessively during the time that Kate had worked for her. Amber also took other drugs, including during the employment, including mushrooms, MDMA, and she was open about it, almost to the point of bragging. One of the witnesses from the end of last week said that Amber had offered her MDMA, but that woman was removed from testimony and her testimony counting because the judge realized that she had been watching clips and had too much knowledge of the case already. So she just outed her anyway. The other thing, she would text her all the time, but she only wanted to do it like on some iCloud account so that she could delete it, knowing that she was so abusive with her assistant, Amber Wood. She didn't know when it was. She bothered her on her birthday, and the assistant said, could I just have one day? It's my birthday. And she said, well, how am I supposed to know it's your birthday? Luckily, my assistant and I share the same birthday, so that won't be a problem because I'm so worried about, like, you know, an assistant not liking me afterwards. Okay. And being in a trial like this. I mean, this is, if anybody was thinking about getting a personal assistant, you'd be like, But Amber pretty much is awful. I mean, she is a pretty awful person. And she definitely was, even Johnny had texted in one of the things saying, I'm pretty sure that she acquired me for her fame and she seems very fame hungry. I understand that the period of my employment overlaps with the majority of the incidents in which Amber has alleged that Johnny was violent towards her. The assistant says, I never once saw any bruising, swelling, or any evidence of what could have resulted from violence. I would often see her naked and semi-naked because of fittings, and she never saw anything. She said she's supposed to be this advocate and a regular volunteer at the Children's Hospital, but she actually had the assistant cancel almost all of Amber's agreed upon volunteer dates and also, to the recollection, went only once, perhaps twice, to do volunteer work for the Children's Hospital in the 3 years that Kate had worked for Amber. So she's just full of shit. Then there's some stuff about some things that she did with dogs in Australia. That, I don't know, I got a little bored with, but it was some shady stuff. It shows that she has broken the law and lied about some things. So that makes you question how honest she's been throughout this. She said Amber was a classic bully. She enjoyed making me feel stupid. She said, in some ways, I stayed as the assistant in order to try to protect Johnny from her. It was so obvious to me that she was manipulating him and using him. And, she just said it was just a horrible experience, but, you know, she had this young son and she ended up staying longer than she should, but she's certainly not a fan of Amber's. The marriage counselor says that they were both kind of verbally abusive to each other, but that Johnny had a much calmer way about him and was really sort of trying. Johnny today showed up with his hair slicked back. As you can recall from my previous episode, I said I thought the messy hair was not doing him any justice, and I thought too many silver rings and things. But he's still keeping the rings, but he did tie his hair back into a nice, like, low man bun and just really showing off his face. And meanwhile, Amber, who's, like, wearing similar types of clothes, she shows up, like, you know, now with her hair down and constantly the way the cameras are, she's constantly looking at him, trying to grab his attention. And he is just, like, focused on the witnesses. Another witness that came up was his really good, like, childhood friend who at one time kind of lived in the apartment and witnessed Elon Musk being there with Amber, because that's a whole nother thing, that she was having an affair with Elon Musk and he's going to be called to the stand soon. That's juicy. He also said that after one of the arguments, in which she now claims that Johnny got physically abusive with her. He said he never saw any marks or anything on her. And then her attorney was like, but did she, do you know that she used Amica cream? Amica cream? Did she use any Amica cream? And he's like this like New York-y guy. And he's like, no, I don't know what Amica cream is. It was Arnica cream, which is what you take. Like it's homeopathic. And it's like, right, like you're going to hit your leg or get some Botox. You put it on your face right away so you don't have a bruise. I honestly don't think it works that well. But anyway, it was just kind of funny. And he seemed to enjoy hearing from his friend who was like a painter and he helped him with his painting. This was from the TikTok that was just my favorite one about them saying that Amber thought he was old and boring with his old friends playing guitar. And then one person that was Amber's really good friend did get thrown out of the courtroom because she was texting and tweeting about the trial. So this says, page six, Amber Heard's close friend, British music journalist Eve Barlow, was dramatically thrown out of the bombshell trial. She allegedly got into hot water with the judge for texting and tweeting from the front row of the courtroom, which is usually reserved for legal counsel. So it is just going. I'm so into it. I've got Jen, who was supposed to be here today, but she has a juicy story of how she cut her head up. She's fine. She told me I could share the story. She's going to come and we're going to get into more of it because she actually has a strong connection to the real Johnny Depp that we're going to hear about along with her Louis C.K. story, along with all of her other opinions. So she's coming coming Thursday. But anyway, this is just super juicy. Also, in today's testimony, the doctor, so he has always struggled with drugs and alcohol. That is not a secret about Johnny Depp. And at one point, he was trying to get off opiates. And he hired this doctor, Dr. Keller, who then brought a registered nurse with him who was testifying today. Now, a lot of her testimony, she couldn't remember. She kept saying, I don't recall, I don't recall, I don't recall. And a lot of it is about how he severed his finger. Amber says that, that he cut it off himself in a blind rage fight, okay? Johnny says she threw a vodka bottle at him, which broke and cut off the top of his finger. I don't know. I don't really know what I believe. I mean, I think a bottle coming and slicing off the top of your finger, it seems like that would be harder. Accidentally cutting off the top of your finger yourself seems like a much more likely thing. At the time of the finger incident, he called this doctor and there's texts that say that he said, I cut my finger. What should I do? When he went to the ER, he said, I cut my finger with a knife. But also, if it was an abusive situation and he's a victim of domestic abuse, a lot of people lie. How many times has a woman said, I fell on the stairs, my dog tripped me, you know, rather than say that her partner hit her. So men can be victims of domestic abuse as well. And but interestingly, this doctor was the same doctor that worked for Ozzy Osbourne, was his patient back in December of 2003. And there was quite an issue with him being Ozzy's doctor. If you ever watched the Osbournes, Ozzy was always in a stupor. He was falling asleep. He was falling over. And later on, he said, you know, I was on all these drugs, Valium, Dexedrine, all these things, Adderall, that were prescribed by the same Dr. Keller that then all these years later was working for Johnny Depp. And the report I saw is that he was paid like several hundred thousand dollars, like $600,000 to be his personal doctor, $84,000 in prescriptions for different prescriptions to get you off of like the narcotics or the opiates. I don't know. But these Beverly Hills doctors that are like concierge doctors for celebrities is a common thing for celebrities. And you pay a lot for that kind of service to get exactly what you need. So I just thought that was sort of an interesting connection. Speaking of Elon Musk, Elon is trying to buy Twitter. I kind of find this whole thing confusing. So he wanted to buy it for $43 billion. Twitter is now going to do this like thing called the poison pill, which I don't know. It deals with stocks and stuff. Drake could probably explain it better for me. I don't know why someone would want to buy Twitter. I kind of feel like, God, really? It's that? I mean, there's a bunch of other social media platforms now to get your voice out. Like, it's not like the one and only thing. But Elon Musk wants to buy it. He already has 9% of the company. And somehow this makes it that someone can't get up to 15%. I don't know. This was a – I know. You're like, Heather, am I listening to Juicy Scoop or like legal analysis and stock exchange? These are just the stories that have happened this week. And I did a lot of studying to figure out how to explain it to you guys. So I'm just keeping you up to date in probably not a very good way. Let me get into something I do know. There's a juicy murder that just happened. This is very weird and very sad. This just happened over the weekend. This murdered queen's mom was killed. What happened? I'll just tell you exactly what happened. She's a very pretty 51-year-old woman. She has two boys, 13 and 17. The dad was off with the 17-year-old looking at places in Oregon. They live in a very nice home in Forest Hills of Queens in like a $2 million house. She's with the 13-year-old boy, and she tells the 13-year-old son, I'm going to go see a show Friday night. I guess she doesn't come home, according to the boy, I don't know. She doesn't come home Friday night. Now they're seeing she actually went to go meet another guy. I don't know if this couple is separated. I don't know if there's something romantic going or if these, like the Daily Mail and Two Fab are just putting this together. Next thing they know, Saturday morning, several blocks from their home, this guy's walking his two dogs and the dogs start going crazy about this like duffel bag that's just like left on the street corner. So the guy just thought it was like whatever trash and they start going crazy, smelling it. So he opens it up and he sees like a leg, black pants, a woman's waist, sees the blood, calls the police. And then they look at surveillance cameras around and they see a man, but it's not, you know, easy to see what this guy looks like, dragging the duffel bag. They go to the house. The 13-year-old boy is there. They believe that somehow she was killed in the basement. There must be blood evidence down there. She was stabbed 58 times. They take the 13-year-old boy. The dad and the 17-year-old are looking at colleges. They take the 13-year-old boy in handcuffs, thinking that he killed the mom. After talking to him, they realize, no, he was an innocent victim. I mean, honestly, the kid was probably playing video games from Friday afternoon until when the police knocked on the door. I mean, that's not funny, but I'm just saying, if I told Brandon I was going out Friday with a friend and he did not hear from me until Saturday afternoon when the cops knocked, he'd probably be like, what? The other part, the guy, the husband got a text saying, your wife put me in jail years ago and now I'm back. He also sent another text from the wife's phone to the husband saying, now your whole family is something to some threat about the whole family being a target. This is just an insane story. I don't know, like the jail thing. I don't know what she did for a living, if she had anything to do with some prosecution type of situation, if this guy's just an insane person who followed her home, if it was somebody that she was secretly seeing. Just absolutely horrible. And just like being a mother of teenagers, what an awful situation. Okay, let's talk about Coachella. As you know, all these influencers go to Coachella and just wear a bunch of Revolve clothes and post about it. And it sounds pretty fun, except there was stuff going on about Revolve, saying that comparing it to the Fyre Festival, in that all these people got there and they weren't getting the accommodations that they were supposed to get. The buses weren't picking them up times. They were hot. They were thirsty. They were wearing their Coachella outfits. They were complaining. They were like, don't you know who I am? And no one knows who you are. You're just a social influencer. These were the tweets. This is Bravoing Together put some of the tweets together of what made this juicy. So they said, sources on the ground telling us that there is apparently drama going down at the Revolve Festival that stinks to the level of Fyre Festival. Influencers stranded in the dirt with no water under the hot sun for hours, waiting for the buses that aren't coming to bring them to actual festival. Alleged fight, screaming, everyone is dizzy. They told the police that only in an LA Moment Coachella edition, security had crowds of influencers yelling how important they were and how they deserved the first seat. I mean, this is just like jumping off the Titanic. I mean, I've been at some parties where there's like a bus that takes you to and from, and you are just either dying to get there or dying to get home. More that I'm usually dying to get home. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm Lady on the Titanic being like, I'm with child. Let me on this bus just to get the fuck out of there. Anyway, they said they spoke to security on the ground about the chaos. And one of the guards said, I don't know who the F these people are. I don't know who is actually important and who is lying or if any of them are important. So then Bethany Frankel tweeted like, oh, really? These influencers are complaining. Maybe Be Strong should do something to help, you know, social influencers at Coachella. I'm just kind of like surmising her tweet, but she did remove it because she probably realized, wait a minute. I know I really care about this petty shit, but I am someone that's now priding myself in doing incredible charity work and like helping refugees. So I probably shouldn't make a mockery of my own Be Strong charity just to be a bitch about it. And again, unless you were really there, unless you really saw these girls really bitching, who knows? I think it's just kind of funny because honestly, the little bit that I saw on social media, it seems like it was fine. I saw another TikTok of a guy being like, it was really disorganized. Nobody knows where to park. Nobody knows how to get there. People aren't even really like dancing to the music. I don't know. But then I've seen a lot of other things that look like it was pretty fun. I am going to that area. I don't have tickets to anything Coachella related except someone's backyard pool, which I'm pretty excited about. So if anyone wants to invite me to something, let me know. I'm all about a free hookup, but it has to be completely planned out. It has to be like, meet me here at this time. An air-conditioned car picks us up. We take you to this place. Here's some drinks. Here's some shade. Would you like to sit down? Let's take some photos. It has to be a complete, pleasant experience. If not, I will just float in a pool and listen to some music from, like, you know, the house speaker and be completely fine with that. Travis Scott. He did supposedly, according to TMZ, do a short set at a Coachella after party. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Kardashians premiered on Hulu. They also had a lot of big Easter egg stuff that people are sort of disgusted by their how much each kid got a gumball machine. Each kid got a bike, an Easter basket, a big giant chocolate egg no one's going to eat. You know, come on. That's what they do. And you enjoyed it. And you know what? It probably made it. It was like it was Easter content for you who was squatting at home watching it. So just stop your complaining. Anyway, this show seems to be very similar to what it was as far as following them. But they break forth the fourth wall. They talk to the camera more. And the juicy thing that happened was Saint was playing some game called Roblox. What is it called, Drake?
Roblox.
And there was an emoji of Kim like crying or something. And so I don't know. I guess they were going to like maybe sue the company or figure out what was up with that. And then in doing it, they realized by speaking to the attorneys that there's supposedly a second sex tape coming that's out there, which, as you know, that was like the world for full circle when the show first premiered, which, by the way, I was on the premiere episode. Thank you very much. The first couple episodes of the first season was about the sex tape and finding out about it and what she's going to do about it. And she was flying to do Tyra Banks and she didn't know what Tyra was going to ask her. So now we see I'm going to New York to do SNL. And is this possibly happening? And how do we get behind it and ahead of it and sue and whatever? So that's some of the juice there. But people seem to like it. And it's on once a week. And I'm definitely going to be watching it as well. Okay. Oh, this was interesting. So someone in my Juicy Scoop Obsessed group noticed that Kravis, that's Courtney and Travis, did this like weird photo that they posted, Courtney, right next to like a Coca-Cola vending machine. And then the other photo that went viral was Kim and Pete Davidson hanging out after the premiere at this place called Johnny and Vinny's, in which they were eating the Yeezy pizza and having two giant Cokes. And then you saw the Coke can in the photo. And she also gave him a cuter nose and a stronger jawline. She did like that Facetune app. So people were freaking out about that. But he does look cuter. Listen, I just want to say, if anyone wants to Facetune me without my permission, if you're going to make me look cuter, if you're going to give me a cuter nose and brighter teeth, go for it. No problem. I find it's the Christian thing to do. They are Christians. So, you know, but who knows? He does look cuter. And then there are people think, no, it's an angle. No, she probably did it. She probably did it. She couldn't help herself. But the theory is, do they have some secret deal with Coca-Cola? Like, not a blatant, like, let me drink my Coca-Cola hashtag ad, but just putting Coke in a lot of things. I don't know. That's kind of interesting and kind of a clever way for Coke to do it. It's just a conspiracy theory, just like the conspiracy theory that's going around now. This is just a conspiracy theory that Pfizer is coming out with an alopecia drug. Pfizer was a sponsor of the Oscars. Is there any conspiracy theory about that? I think for that, it's just coincidental. Of course, they have a drug for alopecia. They have a drug for everything. That's my opinion. But this Coca-Cola thing, that looks like a real conspiracy theory. Then this was a quote. I don't know if this is an upcoming episode or not, but TMZ quoted Kim saying, "What if I was fucking sleeping and he stuck a dildo up my ass?" I don't know. I guess she's wondering where this second tape that Ray J supposedly has that's coming out. And I definitely think even the heaviest sleeper would wake up if a dildo was being shoved up your ass. Okay, somebody sent this to me over the weekend. And it's this girl, Carolyn Perry, 123, on TikTok. She doesn't have a ton of followers, but she's like, "Oh, by the way, guys, I'm following Mason Disick's secret account on Instagram. And this is wild. I totally do not believe that this is Mason Disick. I read it all. I screen grabbed it. And then even then, she was like, I think someone created this account, making it appear to be that, hoping that someone would get it and think they're getting on it. Because what this supposed Mason said was some really juicy stuff, some stuff that might be true anyway and just not out. Someone's like, maybe it's Scott, because there wasn't one negative thing about Scott. But basically, this Instagram account went through everything that's going to go on the Kardashians season. And one of the things was that Tristan was having an affair with this makeup artist that since all the Kardashian girls have stopped following. I looked up the makeup artist. She's a very pretty girl. And I went scroll down, and about a year ago, yes, she was doing Khloé's makeup. So I'm like, that's kind of juicy. So we'll see. I'm not going to say it because I think it's made up gossip, but who knows? The other thing is, there was a photo of a cute little baby boy in a car seat, and it said Knight Jack Webster, meaning because we don't know Kylie's son's name. I have heard that to be the rumored name, Knight, but this baby was just some other cute, like, you know, baby that would look like their baby, like just a cute little boy. But I think that's why I think it's all bullshit. But it kind of made me go, And then it tagged everybody's name in the story. So there's no way this was Mason. Also, the words that the Mason used was, "Now this is wild." Do you really think Mason Disick, who's like 11 or 12, is using the word wild? No, that is a girl or a gay guy or somebody else that's having fun with this site. And then one of the things also in there was like, everybody thinks that I think Kendall is so boring. I'm sorry. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, that's your aunt. Anyway, it was kind of funny, but I don't believe it's true. Speaking of thirst, oh my God, are we in another drought, you guys? Because J-Lo, she is not happy with the lack of publicity that she got for her engagement. It just really got just glossed over with all the Kardashian stuff. And this is really reminding me of them 20 years ago, where it seemed like every other day they would go shopping in Rodeo, she and Ben Affleck, all dressed up. She'd slick his hair back and they'd be in like a different Bentley, I swear to God, every week. Well, he comes home and she comes out the garage door and she's wearing his overalls, but she always looks cute. And she greets him at the door and he gets out and she's just like grabbing him, making out with him. And the paparazzi just happens to be there filming it. And he's kind of talking to her, like sort of annoyed, like, God, and she's like, just like trying to kiss him, at one point, I think when she first walked out, I swore I saw eye contact with the photographer. And it's just really thirsty. Also, she's showing up in my TikTok For You page for her J-Lo glow. And I'm like, I don't know how to stop those. I don't want to see them anymore. Can we have one fucking thing? Like, we can't have podcasts because every celebrity has a podcast. Can we have TikTok? Can we just have our TikTok? God damn it. Anyway, meanwhile, his ex-wife, Jennifer Garner, honestly, can I just say, and you're going to go, Heather, that's so mean. I'm just going to say it. She's just kind of a geek. She's kind of a geek. I know she has 12 million followers. I think she's a really good mom. I mean, she dresses so dorky and then does dorky things. So it's like baking and like, I mean, she does post like kind of cool stuff. I won't follow her though. I just won't. But anyway, she is at this diner for her birthday. Wet hair, not a speckle of makeup, wearing unflattering jeans and a sweatshirt and a sweater. And someone hands her a video and she's watching it. And it's Donny Osmond dancing to something that, from what I could see, looked like it was just like you could put anyone's song into it. But it looked, I guess maybe he was actually saying Jennifer Garner dance. First, I was like, God, is she freaking out this hard? So someone bought her a cameo, big fucking deal. Then he comes up behind her. And she goes, she hears the voice and just covers her hands. Like, wouldn't you immediately turn around and be like, oh my God, no. She covers her hands like, I can't believe Donny Osmond is here. Well, if you're that big of a fan, you should know that he's here. So then she, I have to turn this off one second. So then, first of all, I'm just like, hey, friends, if you're going to have Donny Osmond say happy birthday to your friend, I guess he's married, but still, who's 50 and I still think single. Her ex is marrying his love of his life. He just gave her some $10 million green ring. And you're like, I'm going to give you the greatest gift ever. Donny Osmond's going to meet you. As a girlfriend, wouldn't she be like, Jen, I know it's just the local diner, but do you want to, like, I don't know, slap on some mascara? Maybe a little blush, maybe actually blow out your hair. I don't know, just because we might take some photos or no, you're good. You're just good being totally natural. Okay, fine. So then they start singing songs. It was just so, I really don't know how she and Ben ever got together in the first place. I want to look it up. So correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they dated that long. And then I think she got pregnant. They got pregnant and, you know, and then got engaged, got married, had two more kids. Obviously, it worked for a while. But I don't think she cares that she's not with him anymore. I think she's, what Donny Osmond kind of a wholesome milk and cookie dude can we find for Jennifer Garner? Because originally, I wanted her to be with like a hot green architect that only made like $50 million houses that were totally green. I thought that'd be good. Oh, you know what? I think she is dating some attorney. Well, where's that attorney? Maybe she's still dating that attorney. Anyway, whatever. Just hopefully they can eat milk and cookies together. Sorry. At least she's got her Capital One card. She can go have some fun with that. Aunt Molly Shannon went on Howard Stern. She has a book coming out. I know you guys want her on Juicy Scoop. I've met her once when I went to the SNL show not a couple years ago, 25 years ago. I had so much fun. I adore her. I love her work. I'm definitely going to read her book. We have reached out to try to get her. So if anybody knows the Molly Shannon people, I would love to have her on the show. I know we have a lot in common. She was an old virgin. She's a Catholic girl. She's a sketch girl. It would be a blast. I'm going to read the book. But she told this story to Howard Stern saying that she was so excited to meet with this agent. And the agent also represented Gary Coleman, who, if you're trying to remember who this was the kid from Different Strokes. He's black and he was super cute on the show when he started. He had some medical issues that kept him from going past like 4'10". Okay. But he, so the agent leaves Molly and him alone And he immediately starts like hitting on her and grabbing her and stuff and really forcefully like got on top of her. But, you know, he's little, but he's still a man and kind of heavy. So she was pushing him off of her. She was like, stop it, stop it. And like at one point, I think she threw him across the bed. I mean, the story is just so visually funny. He has passed, by the way. But I did have one incident with Gary Coleman myself. I was a waitress at the Carol O'Connor's place, and he and this very pretty young white girl was with him, and they were eating, and he was very flirty with me, which I thought was weird since he had a date. And their bill was $33, and he left me $50. The most tip I've ever gotten. So nice. And then he basically, you know, had no money at the end. And I always felt so badly about it. I was like, dude, why were you giving me so much money? It was $35. You already had a date. But maybe it all worked out. Maybe he's like, thanks, Heather, because Molly Shannon just told a really shitty story about me on Howard Stern. So I had to tell one nice one on Juicy Scoop. Real Housewives of OC reality blurb is reporting that the ratings have reached an all-time low amid season 16 finale. And Vicky might come back. Tamara might come back. Nobody might come back. I don't know. But they ended the show with they all sing a song that Daisy Fuentes and her husband Richard Marks wrote. And they all got up and they had to go to a studio before in which they sang the lines and then performed it. And then they, I guess, put the auto-tune over it. Of course, Heather Dubrow had the best voice of all. It was so cringy and so bad. And that was the finale. And I've been watching the show since day one. And every time they do the final party in the OC and they'd play that sad music, I would get so sad that the season was over. I can say I've never been happier to hear that fucking music. This season was difficult to get through. I mean, I'd fall asleep numerous times. I don't know. I couldn't take it. Anyway, the reunion is coming, and the reunion is all going to be about how Shanna Bedore's dress didn't show up. I mean, that was basically the entire preview. And someone had to run to a Neiman's nearby and get her a pretty cute pink dress, and she looked good in the end. Another clip shows that Heather Dubrow says to Shannon, I knew about your affair before anybody else did, before you did, you know, and I kept it to myself. I knew about the affair. Everyone knew about your affair. Not her affair, but her ex-husband, David Bedore's affair. And some people wrote an article about that. And in the article, it was Reality Blur that wrote about this potential moment in the reunion. Kelly Dodd wrote a tweet, which I'm just going to summarize, but just wrote a comment under it, not a tweet. She wrote a comment under that story saying, wow, Heather, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Everyone knows that Terry had an affair with his office assistant. That's Heather's husband. And then she wrote, allegedly, in parentheses, I don't want to be sued a third time by you, but everybody knows that it's a small town, so maybe you shouldn't talk. So then a couple other people put that and got it going, you know, started to talk about who knows, you know, who knows. But this is why, you know, it might be kind of fun to bring some of these people back, because there's more action happening on Instagram about this show than actually watching the show itself. This was the article. I'm just reading this. So Terry called Heather a hypocrite. But I mean, look, I am not saying that's true or anything. They seem like they're extremely solid couple from what we can see and for what they portray and on the show and everything else. But alleged rumors, who cares? And then Margaret on Real Housewives of New Jersey, she said on Kate Casey's podcast that after Teresa, for those of you that are not watching the show, Teresa's the one who went to prison. Joe Giudice was her husband. He went to prison. They came back. He left. He's in Italy. She fell in love with this guy when she was walking down the street. He zoomed up against, and they're madly in love, and they're getting married, and they bought a house together, but there's all this shady stuff that's come out about him. His ex-fiancés and girlfriends have said disparaging things about him. She thinks Margaret is behind it. And so she's like, I think you started the rumors about Louis. And Margaret's like, you're a disgusting human being for saying that. And Teresa just gets up and smashes, just pushes all the drinks all over Margaret, who is wearing a white dress. So there's like cranberry and vodka all over her boobs and everything. And it's just everywhere. And people get up and are terrified. And she leaves. No one can calm her down. They show her going back to the house in Nashville. And then she's like, come on, Louis, we're going. And she's in her pajamas. And she goes, we're going to the hotel. We're going to a hotel. And I remember thinking, well, that's really weird. If you decided you couldn't stand to be around Margaret, even under the same roof, and you're going to get a hotel room, why would you get in your pajamas to go to the hotel? Well, Margaret on the podcast, on Kate's podcast, basically said, you know, read between the lines. And so really what happened is the producers insisted, because of this violent outburst, that Teresa could not stay in the cast house at Nashville. So what I understand is probably she got there, put on her pajamas, was like ready to talk some shit more while the cameras were around, and then go to bed. And then the producers were like, actually, we're going to drive you to a hotel. We got you a room. And then she just left in her pajamas. So yeah, I would think that. Ooh, another super juicy thing that I don't know if it was a juicy scoop or not, but it was sent to me. Someone has noticed that this one woman has been in all these scenes in New Jersey. I'll find it and I'll share it on Thursday's show. But she's probably just like a 50-year-old white woman, like just kind of whatever. She always has a mask on because, of course, COVID. But for the last couple seasons, this viewer noticed this girl was in the scenes. And so we believe that she is actually security for the show. So when the females of Real Housewives in New Jersey get physical at like a bar, anything in a public, like she can actually be there where she'd blend in like a patron, but she can actually be there to like break it up, which I would think, for the protection of everybody on set and Bravo and everything, you've got to have people like that. And maybe, you know, a typical looking male security guard can't blend into these like more intimate settings with women, like some other, you know, like she could. So that's kind of juicy. Mike Shadid, who is on Shaws, as you know, Shaws of Sunset has been officially canceled. However, I think everything's pointing towards another show happening, but with maybe they'll call it something different, but keeping Reza and Mercedes and Gigi. So they're going to do something and maybe like some new people and call it something else. But apparently, from what I heard, it was going to be canceled before this. But Mike, like 2 weeks ago, got arrested for domestic violence. We didn't know if it was with his fiance, Paulina. However, that's what we'd assume. Then there was rumors that there was a third party involved, like maybe they were having a threesome. I heard that. She then made a statement saying, we are working with my attorneys to get like the proper, you know, whatever the proper outcome, which sounded like she was the victim and pushing for some type of prosecution for Mike. Then Daily Mail reports, well, actually, Mike hits the beach at Cabo with his fiance, Paulina, just weeks after he was arrested for domestic violence. So they're just happy in love in Cabo, having a great time. He's like with her kids. So, you know, but the thing is, though, is people think that, oh, I guess she won't press charges then. If it doesn't matter if then as the person that originally called the police or said that my partner was hitting me, then it's just not up to you to go, yeah, I'm not going to press charges or not. That's what's changed over the last like 10 years. I know this from my sister, Shannon, the criminal defense attorney. If the prosecutor, the DA, still wants to press charges, it doesn't matter if you're like in love with him and married to him. And it doesn't matter if they get married that Saturday and that Monday he has to go to court to fight this. If the prosecutor believes, based on what was reported the night of the event, what the police report said, all of that, if they decide that they want to go forward with any kind of charges, then it's really not up to the victim of domestic violence to say, yes, do it or don't. So be careful, Amber Heard or whoever, if you're going to say something that might not be true, it might come back to haunt you. Silvio Scaglia. Scaglia. That is Julia Hartz from My Unorthodox Life. Came on Juicy Scoop, took me to the Gucci fashion show, the tiny little thing that was part owner of the Elite Modeling World Enterprises Netflix show. As you know, she is divorcing her second husband, who's this billionaire guy who made her CEO of La Perla and then made her co-owner of their business together. They're getting divorced. He has claimed that she still took money from the company, spent it on herself for a boob job, took money out to pay the attorneys, took $850,000 out for herself. She says that's not true on Watch What Happens Live. She said, I can't steal, you know, I'm part owner of the company, so I'm not like stealing money from the company. Like, this is what everything I'm doing is proper and you'll see. Meanwhile, he's fallen in love. Silvio is in love with a New York socialite. And this girl, her name is Heineman. And she's been sharing a little bit about their love affair on her Instagram. She's the founder of a lifestyle brand called Old Fashioned Mom, which teaches readers how to apply old-fashioned values of traditional motherhood to a modern world. She's previously been married twice to hedge fund founder John Heineman, who she has two kids with, and then a Norwegian financier, Bjørn Aserod. My point is what I'm always saying, is that these rich women, they just keep marrying other rich men. A rich man wants the ex-wife of a richer man. Like, I mean, I'm just telling you, it's just like this, the billionaire, like, wife swap bounce. It's just amazing. But anyway, they're happy in love. Please, Real Housewives of New York, I know you're already on this, but I hope they're approaching this woman to be on Real Housewives of New York, because if she's on it with him, that's pretty juicy. And, you know, he was really pushing for Julia Hart to do the Netflix series. So he might be okay with it, or he might be like, absolutely not. I hated it. It wasn't for me. But from what I heard, he was down for it and thought it would really be great for their business and great for them. And he liked it. So I think we could get her on Real Housewives of New York. Speaking of swingers, there is TikTok swinging stuff that I've been hearing about. It is, if you just hashtag KM3, that's what it's about, because that's what these people call themselves. Okay, I'm going to explain it to you best I can. There are, oh my God, I have to get my notes here. There are two couples, and they're all over TikTok called Swing Talk. Hold on. Okay, so the first couples are Christina and Mark. That they were a couple married for 16 years. According to the TikTok things that I've seen, Christina couldn't stop cheating on Mark. So Mark and Christina decide, let's be swingers. And they meet Misty and Matt, who have also been married for 16 years. So Christina starts then screwing Matt, and her husband Mark starts screwing Misty. And they're all happy. They're like doing these TikToks together, and they're like, we're in a polyqual. Polyqual, I guess that means like short for quad, like a four. Polyquad? Maybe it's polyquad. That sounds more appropriate. We love it. We're happy. We're just one happy family in love. But like, but then you would see in the videos that Christina was super, super into Matt. She was just like, this is the love of my life. And he's kind of tattooed and everything. And she's just like, we're just so in love. Anyway, they all go to Vegas. And then days after, Christina files from divorce from Mark. And Mark and Misty are like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know they were going to get divorced. Meanwhile, Matt, okay, who's now with the second wife to be, I guess, Christina, Matt says, well, my wife gave me 13 days to change everything about myself, and I just couldn't. And then Christina's like, but I love everything about you. I love all your flaws. And he's like, all three of them? And they're like, so they're all in love. And there's been people say that Matt, there's some claiming that he has stolen valor, which means he was like lying about some military awards or that he was in the military at all. So there's There's some shady stuff there. The grandparents of one of these kids, people, they're like, can the kids stay with us? We feel like this is a lot. Meanwhile, so now Christina and Matt are together. This couple, they swung and this couple stuck. And then the other couple, they want to be together too. He's moving into the house. Mark is now moving into the Christy and Matt house. And Matt's like, good, move into my house, dude. I think you're a great guy. I don't see what the problem is. So weird. So I don't know. I kind of feel like, hey, it usually doesn't work out this perfectly that everybody's happy just swapping and sticking with it. So, I mean, do you remember that song from Shania Twain? Looks like we made it. And it was about how she was so in love with her husband. And then she found out that her husband was sleeping with her best friend. And they were like couples friends. And so then they got divorced. And then Shania's husband married that woman. But then Shania ended up with her friend's husband. I mean, it's just really nice if it can work out. I'm just saying. I have no problem with this. I would only be sad if someone felt like they were screwed over. But it all worked out perfectly. There's actually a famous story about it with these two baseball players that actually swapped wives and it stuck. And they literally swapped wives and like got married and lived forever happily ever after. This is not a happily ever after, but Lala Kent, she said she found out that Tom Schwartz, soon to be ex-husband of Katie Mahoney, that he was hanging out with Randall. And so she said, I'm out. I never want to talk to you again, Tom. Like, I can't have it. I'll probably get some scoop on that soon. Now, we all know that these Tinder swindler stories, thank God, are making people aware that they are, in fact, being swindled. And this article came out from ABC7 that this girl told her friend, look, I think you better watch Tinder Swindler because I think you're being Tinder swindlered. And she's like, oh my God, thank God I watched it. The exact same thing happened to me. I read this article and this woman, exact same thing. Guy started to talk to her online. Immediately, he's texting her every morning. Good morning, beautiful. Hey, wifey. He's successful. He's fabulous. Everything's going great. He cannot wait to see her. And then, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in this predicament. I'm stuck at this place and my wallet was stolen. Can you lend me this amount of money to get out of this situation? And then the next thing is like, I need this money for permits to get out of here or my work visa. And then so she gives him more money. Then, oh my God, I can't believe this awful thing's happened to me. I'm sick. I'm in the hospital. How are we going to get married and spend the rest of our lives together unless I get this surgery? I need $20,000. And then she's like, how am I going to get $20,000? I don't have that kind of money. Baby, you can do it. Can you refi your house? Can you borrow it from a credit card? In the end, she never met this guy and she gave him $92,000. I just can't believe that people still get sucked into it, but I know that they do. One of the people that I interviewed from a while ago, she had a Dirty John situation, and she was a single mom, and she was divorced, and she met this guy, and it was absolutely fabulous, and you know he was everything her husband wasn't, so he was super charming and great, and she came on my show and she told the whole story. Some of you were a little bit critical about it, but it was like looking at houses and then they're going to buy a house and it was ready to close and he like screwed her with the down payment. And anyway, she found out he had like multiple girlfriends, you know, no money, all this kind of stuff. He didn't take that much money from her per se, but just really messed with her heart. But he did do some illegal things. And she wrote me over the weekend and she said he got 3 years in prison. And she met a mom at her school that part of that mom's job in Homeland Security is out to find these Tinder swindler, Dirty John types. Because the reason it has gone on so rampantly for like the last decade is because I think mostly men that have been brought the cases are just like, so what? Like, you weren't hit. You weren't murdered. Like, so what that this guy cheated and took your money? You were dumb to give it to him. Like, I don't think people were really sensitive to it. But then when these people have multiple victims, you see how devastating it can be. So I think all these shows and me talking about it and people just being more aware of what to look for, hopefully they're going to have to find a new a new strategy. I did see this one thing where this girl then started to screw with this guy. He started to text her and like had a cute face and then was like, baby, baby, could I have and then she was just calling him on him. She's like, gosh, you don't even know me. Really? I'm the only person you can ask for $1,000. Like, we just met. We haven't met in person. We've only talked, like, she's, and then finally was like, you're just a horrible bitch. I forget it. I don't want to date you anyway. And it was so hilarious. And she like shared all of it, how she knew exactly that she, this guy was just, you know, who knows how many people he's reaching out to try to like get any money from. The Hillsong Pastor Carl Lentz. This is, Hillsong is a church. There's a documentary about it. It is fastest growing church out of America, Australia. It's like a rock and roll, good-looking, hip church that like Justin Bieber was part of. And this guy, Carl Lentz, who was like part of it, got exposed that he was a serial cheater. And Perez is reporting that actually all these like Christian publications are reporting the juice on this story, exposing how awful it was. But at one time, Carl Lentz and his wife had a nanny, a babysitter, and I guess they were having an affair, and she saw some snuggling happen. Like, you know, I don't know if the girl admitted or not, but she was like, oh, I was falling asleep and his hand was on me or whatever. And the wife actually punched the nanny. That's allegedly being what was accused. And she's like, leave us alone. My life's tough enough. Anyway, I just love it when like a religious pastor is just revealed to just be a complete fake piece of shit. Oh, this is another awful, horrible crime, you guys. It's so bizarre. This was out of Jacksonville. And this cute guy is like 33. He has twins, 9-year-old twins with his first wife. And then his second wife, he has a baby, two little kids with. And he dropped off the twins at the ex-wife's house. And he was driving down the street and there was a big tire like in the middle of the street, like that he had to stop. And like get out of, I think he stopped and got out of the car. Maybe he didn't get out of the car, but he stopped because this tire was so obstruct. He's going to have to pick it up and move it. And then he was just shot like a bunch of times, like execution style. So they definitely think that it was a setup and that the tire was there, but they have no clue to who his enemies were. I mean, he did well. He was a Microsoft exec, but it wasn't like he was a billionaire. And so there's just no clue of like, it seems like he and the ex-wife seem to have a decent relationship. What's really sad is that the 2-year-old was in the car seat, like wondering like what happened. She's talking about the bang. It's just, that was just really sad. So that's another weird story coming out of there, reported by Daily Mail. I'm going to finish on another horrible piece of clothing that is out. This is by Shein, S-H-E-I-N. And it's a bodysuit that it's like a cat bodysuit. And then it just has one whole bare leg and one. So it's leopard. So it's like a whole, but you're supposed to just wear this out. Like, so one leg is covered, the whole pant. And then it's like up, like complete, like vagina cleavage up over the hip. And you're just supposed to be like strutting with a full ass cheek out, full ass cheek and leg, go out and have some fun and get your husband. I have no idea what these people, I mean, the FUPA like highlighted Spanx and now this and the under tit look, I can't take it. It's just horrible. Britney Spears is posting a lot. I mean, she's just, every post is about this baby. And then she posted a photo that was clearly from when she was pregnant with one of her two boys. It's clearly from 15 years ago. So that's pretty, and just a rose. And then she did like 4 different grid photos of her just holding this baby, like this dog, like a baby. And then she wrote, he's a person, no lie. Well, he's not, Brittany. He's not a person. He's a dog. And there is a difference. But that's okay. Still happy you're free. Still happy you're free, everybody. And I think that's it, you guys. Oh, let's look at my cute merch, you guys. I'm wearing my Keep Dreaming, Work the Secret sweatshirt. I have new adorable coffee cups, Juicy Scoop. I've got so many different clothing items. I also have a really cute hat. I wore this out drinking in Mammoth this weekend, hearing Brandon's words. What kind of monster listens to their own podcast? What kind of monster wears their own merch out? This kind. That's right. You can get all at heathermcdonald.net. Also, of course, join my Patreon. Over 4 years of ad-free, the juiciest juice. Get ready. You will love it. I appreciate it. And everything's at heathermcdonald.net. Thanks a lot. Take care. See you Thursday.